say, Pastor covered that well. Jesus has risen from the dead. He is victorious. Happy Easter. Third Sunday of Easter to you. I don't think that's the real thing, but I made it up. And what do we do now? What do we do now? Jesus is risen from the dead. What do we do now? Go to Disney World? I don't know. Probably not. At least not for all of us. Maybe for a few. Yes. Excellent. So I have a question that I have been laying before us the last few weeks, and I just can't get away from it. It just keeps sitting with me, and so I want to share it with you again today, and it is this question: what will you do now with what you now know? You like that question? I love it. I think it hits the heart of the matter. What will you do now with what you now know? And you know me. If you don't know, you'll find out today, if you're the first time with us today worshiping, that I like to reference the cross, and I always like to think to Jesus, you know? And we tend to make our way over to the cross, and there's a cross in our sanctuary over here. And so I love to think, if we're looking at the cross and we go, wow, what did Jesus do knowing what he knew? I think, ooh, I like that. And today I'm going to walk that path with you and ask if you would like to turn in your Bibles today, if you have it with you, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, if you want to get your phone out. And of course, if you're on your phone, that might be a little tricky. But I'm sure you can make it work. Luke chapter 24, this story, man, it's going to sound familiar today because we have already read this story. But we're going to read it from Luke's perspective today. So it's a little different, and I want to unpack that today. So Luke chapter 24, I want to go to verse 36. And we're going to break this passage down into three chunks, and it'll make sense as we do it. But let's start at verse 36 this morning in the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel. I know that sounds very churchy, doesn't it? But let's roll with it. All right, so Luke 24, verse 36. Here we are, off and running. While they were still talking about this, about the Lord appearing to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. If you're familiar with that story, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, he says, "Well, do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Let me stop there. That'll be our first breaking point this morning. And so I look at this passage, I want to make this statement today. And because I'm trying to answer this question, I'm like, well, what did Jesus do with what he now knew? Right? So Jesus risen from the dead, and he knows what he's accomplished. He knows what the Father had him come to earth to do, and it's there, right? Yeah, so what would you do? If the people don't know what you just did, what would you do? And I love that he just appears in the room. He just stands right there in the room, and he gives this proof of his very natural, his physical presence right there amongst them. And I know that sounds so simple, and you're like, well, Jesus is really cool. He'd do something much cooler than that. Really? Like, what's cooler than being risen from the dead and then just physically standing right in the presence of a room of people that you have spent years with day in, day out, and they just watched you die and you were buried in a tomb and you just go poof, you're right there. Popping into the room out of nowhere was not accidental. It was absolutely on purpose in that moment. He was doing what a human would do in the presence of other human beings. What do?
You stand there. You're alive. You're present on purpose in that space with somebody else. And that's exactly what he does. And if you look at what Luke writes, if you notice this, and maybe if you have your Bible, look down at this passage and look at these times. You can just see these particular words kind of popping out as you go, because he says, what did he do? He stood and he spoke, something a human being would do, right? Who was alive, not 6 feet under, if you will. Although in his case, that doesn't even work, does it? Because it wasn't even 6 feet under the ground. See, it's these silly things like this that pop into my head out of nowhere. And I'm left going, why did I say that out loud? I should have just not even said that. Anyways, and so what does he do? He says what? Touch and see flesh and bones. Ghost doesn't have that, but I do. He says, look, hands and feet. He has something to eat. Ghost doesn't need to eat. They give him fish. I love it. Something physical from nature that he could take and consume as a physical being in their presence. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to because he can. Because God, who is fully divine, is also fully human in that very moment. And he says, you got some fish? I want to eat. I like that it said it was broiled, so he wasn't eating sushi. But I guess if he likes it, I guess he could. You know, I think of it's so funny that today, you say, who are you going to call? And I heard a couple people go, Ghostbusters, earlier today. And I'm like, y'all stole my thunder. Do you remember, have you seen the movie Ghostbusters before, heard of it? Do you remember Slimer, the green one? And every time he ate, right through him, just right through him, constantly, right? He's eating all his hot dogs and junk food, and it's just going right through him. He said, that's silliness. I know, but you see, they thought that Jesus was a ghost standing in their presence. And he's being very purposeful to be present in that moment, to show himself as being the living Son of God, the Savior of the world. I'm not something that's just an apparition. I'm real. I'm with you in this present moment. And he's present on purpose to reveal his victory. To reveal the very fact that what they thought was gone was not gone. It's just they didn't understand it right. That what had said would happen actually had happened, and he's displaying God's power that exercised his authority over death, and there he is showing them that, look, to me, death is not the end. It's just a step on the journey. It was the necessary path to securing our peace with God. Death had no eternal sting on the Son of God. And so he's present on purpose in that moment. On purpose. I'm alive, and I want you to see that. And I'm victorious, and I want you to know that. I'm standing here intentionally in front of you. Make sense? Excellent. Let's go on to part two. I feel like I need a commercial break right there. That's okay. Verse 44. Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their mouths so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Stop. I know it feels like midstream to stop, but pause there for a moment. So Jesus shows up, right? He's in the room, and he says, give me what to eat. Do you remember? Fish. Yeah, she got it. Give me fish to eat. And then he begins to talk to them, and he begins to tell them that what I've just done, and the reason I'm standing here today, is the very fact that I'm fulfilling what is written about me in the scriptures that you so honor and uphold and value as the very place that teaches you about God and about the covenant life that you get to live with him and he wants to have with you. And I want you to know that when I stand here, I'm wanting you to understand that I'm that very person that they've been writing about for so long that was going to come one day. That's me. I am the one. It says, I am the anointed deliverer of God's people. I am the Messiah. I'm the Christ. And he takes the time to connect the dots for them so they can get it. Help them to understand. He gives them understanding. And they're going to be his ambassadors. It's not enough that they just get to know something for the sake of knowing it. It's now that you know it, what do I want you to do with it? See, I can't escape that question. Wherever I go, it just keeps coming up to the surface again and again. And so if they're going to be his ambassadors, they need to understand who he truly is and what he's truly done for them and done for the world by his own life and death. Can you imagine having heard those scriptures for so long? Because they would have learned them as a child, right? They would have been taught by their parents, their grandparents. And then hear Jesus telling, going back to Genesis probably, I'm guessing, and he's pointing out that in Genesis 3:15, he's the one who would strike the serpent's head and have received that deadly blow in return, Genesis 3:15. That he's the pure Lamb of God right in the Exodus who was slain for the sins of the world. And then maybe walking them forward into Isaiah 53, you know, the suffering servant, that actually he's the suffering servant. Ultimately, the suffering servant. And then walking them to say, look, I'm also the promised heir to the throne of David. The one that was promised would reign on the throne forever. That's me. And come into Psalms that he is the Lord of David's Psalms. What David says, Lord, in the Psalms that he writes, they say, like, that's me. I am that one. He keeps using those scriptures to confirm his identity. Because those scriptures shaped what they understood about God. It was their main authoritative source to know who God is and to know what he's up to and what he's working towards. And he's has this purpose of affirming God's plan. Help them understand that this season that they're in is the very thing God's been working towards since the fall. I mean, again, back to Genesis. I mean, God has been intentionally, strategically working over time towards the very moment that they found themselves sitting in. He had brought the Father's kingdom to the world so that the world could be a part of it. He was redeeming sinful humanity back into fellowship with himself, but that required the payment of death for sin. Because in sin, humanity is at odds with God. Sin and righteousness are always at odds with each other. They don't harmonize together. So in our sin, we can't be at peace with God. There has to be a bridge. That bridge is Jesus, for he is the righteous one. And it is his righteousness that becomes ours, that then when God sees us, that he sees the righteousness of Christ upon us. And he says, in Christ's name, I accept you into eternal fellowship with me. Wow. All by Jesus. All by Jesus. Jesus was the answer to the chaos of sin and the separation, our rebelliousness against God. And I love that he just chose to be present with the purpose in that moment and to use the scriptures and to use his story to affirm who he is and affirm what he's done. And for what purpose he had done it, to redeem humanity back to her creator. go, well, that's a lot of good teaching. Can you imagine, though, sitting in their shoes? You've heard me talk about this. Imagine sitting in their shoes. What you were holding out high hopes for and what everything in life was pointing towards had just felt like it just been taken out from underneath them. Can you imagine being that sort of place in your life? Here you are, you're ready, it's looking good, it's looking promising, yes, 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 and then, whoo, the rug's cut out from underneath you, and you're going, hold the phone, what are you talking about? No, that's not fair, this can't be right. All signs were pointing go, and then you just hit a red light. I hate that when that happens on the expressway, but it's quite a bit because there's so many stoplights you just keep hitting, right? Life out of control. Feels that way, right? It wasn't, but it felt that way, no doubt. No power to change the course. But there was this truth that was happening in the midst of what they felt. And it was the truth that God was in perfect control. Jesus was carrying out God's plan so perfectly. So perfectly. This is what Paul writes of, I think, in Romans 5, 6, when he says, you see, at just the right time, while when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I think Jesus is present in that room on purpose, and he's present with a purpose in that room with them. So what does that matter then? I think that's a fair question. You say, you're telling me a lot about what Jesus, but what does that really matter then for me? Because I'm not back then. I'm right here. And I got my own craziness going on. All right, well, let's keep reading then. Verse 47 and 48 to round out the passage. So, right, because it was written, the Christ was suffering, rise from the dead on the third day. And, verse 47, it says, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now, let's just read 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, we're going to come back to that promise at Pentecost Sunday, but we're not there yet, so we're going to wait, and we're just going to sit in the rest of the text, right? Verse 47 and verse 48 this morning. Okay, so do you notice something about this passage? If you're looking at this passage, you see that Jesus is what? He's present on purpose, but he's also present with a purpose. And now when you look at these next two verses, he's pointing them forward and he's pointing them onward from just what the truth is in the moment. And we believe that applies to the church as well, that though the Lord points us to the truth of who we are in Christ and what he's done, he is always pointing us onward. It's not just about what we know. It is also about what we do with what we know. Faith without actions is dead. Like, there's a sense that faith that is God-honoring, relevant faith will be not only experience transformation, but that transformation brings out a changed behavior in life. And it's active. It gets lived out in daily life. The love of God spurs us on to love people in the love of Christ, right? They go hand in hand together. They go with each other. And so what do we do now with what we now know? And I thought, well, I think it's easy, as much as anything, why don't we just keep it simple? Don't complicate it. And I want to say, live on purpose with a purpose. And how might we do that? Well, let's just start at the beginning of a day. Start your day on purpose. Start your day on purpose. You say, well, I have to start it whether I want to or not. It don't matter if it's on purpose. I get it. But every day is a gift to you from God. So start that day on purpose as a way of saying, God purposefully gave me this day, and as an act of faith, I choose to purposefully be present in this day and how I live this day. Start your day as a gift from God, not a drain to your soul. Start your day as a gift from God, not a drain to your soul. Step into it knowing that the resurrected Christ has saved you through your faith. He's entered your life. He sets you apart as a member of his kingdom, and he has sent you to share his story with the world. The repentance and forgiveness of sin will be proclaimed to all the nations, Jesus told them. Your day has a purpose that has been ordained by God. Before you even open your eyes, take your head off your pillow and stand up out of your bed. Start your day on purpose. Don't squander what God has set up for you to do with him on purpose. Start it on purpose. Here's another one. Be present with a purpose. Be present with a purpose. So, how many of you ever say things that you wish you could take back? All that, some of you? Uh-huh. How many of you do things that you wish you could undo? Right. All right, so sounds like we got a kind of a good audience who gets the point of this, right, and the relevancy of this. Good. So here we go. The idea is that we would use our words, we'd use our actions to confirm the saving, the healing, the transforming work Jesus is doing, has done, is doing in our lives because we've turned our hearts towards him by faith. And so it's this idea of saying, I know what I know. I know what I know. Be prepared to share a reason for the hope you have, right? Like, I know what I know. I know what this cross means. I know what Jesus accomplished through the cross. And I know what that means in me. And I know who I am in Christ because of what that cross says was done on my behalf. I get it. I understand it. It makes sense to me. So when I'm present in the moment, it's being present with a purpose of saying, I want to point people to Jesus. I want to point people to what I know Jesus has done for me through that cross at Calvary and through the empty tomb. Can I encourage you? Don't just point people to an empty cross. Don't just point them to a cross. Because the cross has power when it's also connected with the resurrection. The two, right, they go together. That's why Easter is so powerful. We celebrate death and life, right? We celebrate sin being overcome. We celebrate an empty cross, but also an empty tomb. They really do need to go together. To understand forgiveness and victory. Because remember, it's not just about what has been done for you, but also about what you will do with what has been done for you. You must go, what? He says, repentance and forgiveness of sin will be proclaimed to all the nations, right? So in my name, will be proclaimed to all the nations. Like, that's what I want you to go do with what you now know. Be present on purpose and present with a purpose to point people to Jesus. Now, I know that sounds all well and good, so perhaps let's give some filters. You know, a filter, like on a lens for a filter, like on a camera, right? Helps you see things a certain way, right? Helps, right? And so let's put a lens on this, if you will, to use a kind of analogy, kind of like a lens. So perhaps we might think, being present with a purpose, thinking, or actually both these together. Okay, so we go, okay, is my mind, is my tongue, is my behavior being driven by loving God and loving people? Because if you're anything like me, then there might be some points of reference that you could look back and go, what I was thinking really wasn't driven by a love for people right now. It really wasn't driven by a love for God. Is my mind, my tongue, my behavior being driven by loving God and loving people? Because love points people back to the cross and it points people to an empty tomb. Selfishness, pride, greed, look at me, I've got to right my wrongs. That doesn't point people to the love of God through the cross in an empty tomb. Here's another one. Am I about to confirm or contradict the good work Jesus has been doing in me? I like that one. I think that, that one hits me. If I believe that the Spirit of God is working in me and growing me in the character of Jesus Christ, okay, is what I'm about to do, is it going to confirm that? Or is it going to contradict that in front of somebody else or even just in my alone time with God? How's this going to play out right now? It might think of it like this lens. Am I about to help or hinder the message I'm supposed to proclaim about Jesus that's backed up in the Scriptures? Do you ever have somebody that offends you? Somebody ever says something that gets on your nerves? Somebody ever sins against you? Right? So you always have the choice of how you respond to that when that happens. And so we think the way that I, let's say, respond to that, is my response about to help or hinder the message that I'm supposed to proclaim about Jesus? That he is a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness, that he is a God of justice. Like, what's about to come out of my mouth in here in the next half second? When we get frustrated with family, because I'm sure that never happens. But I thought I was going to get a much bigger kind of like, amen, on that. I didn't. Y'all were surprised me on that. But okay, well, let's roll with it anyways. Is what I'm about to say or do, is it going to help or hinder the message that I'm supposed to proclaim about the mercy of Jesus Christ to my family? Family, the nice thing about family is some of the most relaxed people sometimes we can be around. We can just be ourselves. But it sometimes can also be a temptation to be ourselves, maybe in ways that aren't helping us proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Is this what I'm about to think, say, do is going to perpetuate the peace of Christ in this moment? Is it going to promote someone else's well-being? It's just about thinking about the moment you're in. Be intentional about, be present on purpose in the moment, right? That you are a forgiven and redeemed, Spirit-empowered by the love of God person in this moment. Be purposefully present with that reality. But then also be present with the purpose of saying, yeah, but who I am is not just about me in this moment. It's about pointing people to Jesus in this moment. I have a purpose in this moment, like a present with a purpose. So why don't we just get really real with where life is right now on this one? So we've been going through what? I don't even know how many months it is now. I have to do the math, and that makes my head hurt. But of how long we've been wrestling with COVID and the transitions that are kind of happening now and have been and all that kind of stuff, right? And you know the reality is that change leads to anxieties. I thought for sure I'd get another. Absolutely right, but I did. Change leads to anxieties. When things change, it causes us to feel emotions and feelings that influence in our head what we do, how we think, how we respond to that moment, and that causes us to feel certain ways, right, and to think certain thoughts, and it impacts us. And so do you think there's any anxious people in the world right now? Yeah, right? Okay, good. Again, something we can relate to, so that's good. So my thought was on this, if I'm going to be present on purpose with a purpose, that maybe we could say, well, why don't we intentionally be a peaceful presence around anxious people? If the church purposefully chooses to be present with peace around anxious people. You say, well, that sounds so simple. And I know. I mean, Jesus stands right in front of the disciples. And what's the first thing he says to them, according to Luke? Peace be with you. Being a peaceful presence amid anxious people. And so, when the chaos of uncertainties and anxieties are being experienced, I think one of the things that helps us to be peaceful in chaotic environments around anxious people is just to be straight up honest that, look, I don't like this moment. And this is how this moment makes me feel. And this is why I feel this way in this moment. And honestly, I hate it. And I hate it that I feel this way. But own it. Own it. Know where you're at and what you're feeling and what you're thinking. And would you just own it and not fake it? Acknowledge that this moment feels chaotic and this is the emotions I'm experiencing because of that. And I don't like it, but it is where I am at. And when you just sit there and you just own where you're at, let me tell you something else you got to do. Because if that's all you do, that's kind of it's not going to help a whole lot. But if you'll follow up with this, if you'll face the chaos on purpose, confess by faith that Christ is not out of control, the Lord is still reigning upon the throne, he is sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. And if you'll just sit in the moment and realize that that's who the Lord is and that is the reality of the truth of this moment, the world's going crazy. But the Lord is sovereign over heaven and earth. He is peace over the chaos. This is why the Spirit hovered over the waters. It's part of what's meant to teach us. It's why out of the chaos of darkness, light shone into the chaos, that the presence of God entered into the chaos and spoke order into it. How can he do that? Because he is a God of order. He is a God of sovereign control. He is the Lord. And when you sit in that moment and you just confess that that is what I believe in this moment, can I encourage you? Can you also confess, even though it may not feel like it, that God is still working for my good in this moment because he loves me and he's not done. And there is nothing, nothing that can come against and have authority over the work and the will of God, because his word has said, this is who I am and this is what I have done and this is what I am doing. Therefore, this is now what I know about the truth of the moment, even though I feel like the chaos and the darkness of the moment is overcoming and it's pressing. You know what? I'm not going to doubt in the darkness what I knew to be true in the light. I'm just not going to do it. And I know I can't see the resolution in front of me, but I can choose today by faith to be sure of what I hope for and certain of what I cannot see with my eyes. I choose to believe that God is faithful and he has not walked away. I choose to believe that. You choose to believe that. You at home, you must choose to believe that. That's faith. Being certain of what you hope for. Be sure of it. Believe it on purpose. He's always been faithful to do what he said, and he will. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is faithful to his word. And that's what the story tells us. And that's what Jesus was coming to display in the reality of history. God was doing exactly what he had been saying for years he would do. He was doing it on purpose. I hope that stirs your heart to know that that is true, because it is. Now, I've told you something. Now, where do you think I'm going with it now? It's not that we just know it. What do we do with it? I think being a peaceful presence around anxious people proclaims the reality of Christ's work in us. I think it shows that the fruit of salvation is peace and hope and joy in us. That's not something that we're just concocting, but there's something that God is bringing into our lives because of his presence and his work in us. And so we share the good news of that work as we intentionally share the fruit of what he's been doing in our lives around anxious people. Now, granted, we do need to share the historical work of Jesus on the cross. That's an act of history. A person will never come to just intuitively, right? You've heard me say this before, right? Like, a person's not going to go, you know what? I think there was probably a day when some guy, I think he hung on a cross and he died. And you know, I just intuitively feel that 3 days later he rose from the dead. I don't know, something about that. No, that's so silly, isn't it? Because you don't intuitively get history. It has to be told to you. Paul said, how is somebody going to believe and know unless someone preaches it to them? Why? He's talking about someone has to tell the historical work that God did on the earth. People need to know that. It's connected to this message Jesus says. Look, you're going to like preach repentance and forgiveness of sin right in Jesus' name. Like, it's going to be proclaimed. You got to tell how that's connected to Jesus and what he did. That's part of it. We have to do that. But I am a firm believer, too, that I believe we proclaim the truth of repentance and forgiveness of sin by living out its good effect in our lives as well. Because, again, I think it's not just what you know has been done, but what you do with what you know. That's also important. So what about being a peaceful presence around anxious people with the purpose of pointing people to Jesus? I like it. As they say in the South, I think that dog will hunt. That's what Jesus did after the resurrection, essentially. And perhaps what we should also do as his disciples today. So, come full circle. You ready? We've learned from Jesus. We know the world we're living in. So what will we do now with what we now know? Be present on purpose with a purpose, just like Jesus. Let's pray. God, you are so good to love us beyond measure, not by accident, but on purpose. For God so loved the world, your word says, that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank you for the cross, the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for your resurrection, the power over death, the promise of rebirth and eternal life with you. Oh, it's so good. It's so rich. Help us not to squander our moments, to be present on purpose, knowing who we are in Christ, but to also be present with a purpose that our new life, our transformation by the Spirit of God working in us will influence our lives so that, will influence our actions so that we will point people to Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. Help us, Lord, to be about this very thing in this Easter season as we give thanks still for what you have done and made possible for us to do with you in the world, as brothers and sisters in your kingdom. Amen.